are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
I love Pentecost. It might be my favorite celebration in the church year that isn't named Christmas and Easter. I love the tradition and comfort in this familiar story that we read every year. But today I hope that as we listen to the story of Pentecost, we can try and hear the story as if it were the first time. So listen now for the first time to the story of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all those who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs? In their own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves, both men and women. For in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. This is the word of God. Oh, I love that story. I just love it. Those first four verses, when there's that sound of the wind, and then all of a sudden fire in the sky, and they start speaking in tongues. I love it. And you know what else I love? I really love Peter in this passage, because I think this might be the most important history, most important speech in all of human history that begins with, "Guys, I'm not drunk. It's 9 o'clock." So I love the story. I think it's fun, funny, interesting, powerful, moving. And it's amazing too, because it's the gift of the Holy Spirit that came upon all those believers who are gathered. Before that, they were just a ragtag group. But after the events of Pentecost, they became something more. They became the church. And Pentecost is a joyful celebration of the birth of what we know as the church. And birthdays are important. They're markers that help us to process and understand our own lives. I personally really think it's fun to look at celebrities that I share a birthday with and see what we have in common, you know, find some kinship. So, for example, Sally Ride and I share a birthday. And we also share a Presbyterian faith and heritage. I share a birthday with jazz trumpeter Miles Davis, which makes sense because we're both extremely cool people. And I also share a birthday with John Wayne, which makes total sense because we're pretty much opposites. So I guess, you know, who I share a birthday with isn't really indicative of who I am. So what's another? Oh, astronomy is another way. And so that's how we place importance on our birthdays. So my birthday is May 26th, 3 days from now, which makes me a Gemini. And so according to a horoscope website, it said that love, friendship, and loyalty are extremely important to a Gemini, which is exactly the kind of specificity that speaks to my soul. How did they know that I think love is important? It's amazing. It's like magic. You know, but some of the descriptions of the signs seem a little bit suspect because, you know, apparently Geminis can be a bit overzealous when it comes to working out, which is funny to me. So regardless of those ways of interpreting our birthdays still can tell a lot about who we are. It's ways to recognize where we've come from. So where were we when we were born? Who was in the room? What were the circumstances? These all hold important meanings for the story of our lives. I was born in a hospital in Cook County, Illinois. Born a Midwesterner and born and baptized in the Presbyterian Church. A white man, an American. Both of my parents were present at my birth, and I went home with them to a suburban home outside of Chicago. All of these things matter to who I am. The circumstances of my birth will always matter when it comes to the person I am becoming. And shaped by these circumstances, I remember and recognize the impact that they have on my life. So what happened on the day the church was born? Who was there? What were the circumstances? And how does that affect who the church is? So at the church's birthday, the disciples were there, and they were overcome by the Holy Spirit, and they started speaking in tongues. They spoke in tongues, and the crowd heard. And it's important to recognize that the crowd heard their own language. It wasn't that the crowd was miraculously able to understand the disciples' language of Aramaic, but they heard the disciples speaking their own native tongues. So in its very birth, in the gift of the Holy Spirit, the church shows that it values and celebrates the diversity of languages and cultures and life that comes with being human. This is only emphasized in the quotation that Peter reads from Joel, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." Theologian Justo Gonzalez insists, and he says, that this quotation of Joel is central for the entire book of Acts. "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh" is the central story of how the church became what it is. The story of Pentecost underscores how the gift of diversity is something to be celebrated. This is not something to be feared. Listen to what St. Augustine said in the early 400s. He said, "When God sent the Holy Spirit, he manifested him visibly in two ways, by dove and by fire." And he continues to talk about the cloven tongues. "There is diversity of tongues, but the diversity of tongues does not imply schisms. Do not be afraid of the separation in the cloven tongues, but in the dove, recognize unity." The separation of the tongues and the unity of the dove, the Holy Spirit brings us together in our differences. And in our best moments, that is what the church is called to do. The gift of diversity is foundational to who we are, and we do well to remember it. But there's more. Just because I was born in Illinois, it doesn't mean that I'm locked in for the rest of my life into rooting for the Bears or eating specific kinds of hot dogs, even though a Chicago hot dog is probably my favorite kind of hot dog. But our birth, our day of birth informs who we are, but it doesn't need to tell the complete story, because the person I am is different than I was on my 7th birthday, is different from the person I was on my 18th birthday, and will be different on my 45th birthday. I'm informed by my birth, but I've grown and changed and learned more about who God calls me to be. And that's the same with the church. The church is not the same as it was in 400 CE. It's not the same as it was in 1920, 1950, and it's not the same as it will be in 2040. The church has grown and changed. And just as I have been rooted in where I've come from, the church is rooted in where it's come from. But we grow and change as well. And today is the church's birthday, so we can look and take stock about how we've grown and changed. How have we absorbed the lesson of Pentecost, and how have we let that become part of our story? One thing at Covenant that I believe reflects both the church's birth gift of diversity and also the ways that we've grown to use that gift to understand our society is in the Racist Anonymous Fellowship, which is a group that started at Covenant over the past year. It's a group that meets weekly to discuss the ways in which they've participated in or seen racist systems and racism, using a 12-step model to change themselves for the better so that they can change the world. In Pentecost, we're taught that the church celebrates the diversity found in the members of the body, and this group is taking that gift and adapting it to what it means to be in America in 2021. So what ways, as we move forward on this birthday, what ways, in big or small ways, can we look at the church, see our birth, and see where we can go? How do we live out the work of Pentecost in the present day? That is a challenge that I put to you to think, to learn, and to look. But however else we strive to improve ourselves, we know that as we go forward, we do all of this with the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're not going to see tongues of fire shooting down from the sky. And we're not going to hear the violent rush of wind that means the Spirit is whoosh, right here. But we see the Holy Spirit. We see the Holy Spirit when we look with love on the face of our siblings, beautiful children of God, beloved. We feel the Holy Spirit move within us when we join together in prayer, lifting up the vulnerable, the weak, the grieving, the afflicted. We feel the Holy Spirit inside us when we remember that the gift of the Holy Spirit is for all flesh. And when we know it's for everybody, we know it's for us, and it moves in us. Jesus did not leave us to our own devices. When he left us, when he ascended, he left a bit of himself behind. He left the Holy Spirit as a birthday present. Happy birthday to us. And this gift, it makes us who we are. It informs what we become. And it helps provide life for us as we move to the future. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, open our eyes to the work of your Spirit. We give thanks for the gift of your Spirit on Pentecost and the continual giving of that Spirit to us. May we feel it now. Help us to move with the Spirit towards love, towards inclusion, towards welcome, towards hope, towards comfort. Let the Spirit blanket us like fresh fallen snow. May the Spirit push us like a gust of wind at our backs. And may the Spirit shine your love on us like the rays of the sun. Amen.